Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Game four tonight, NBA Finals. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn here with Key. J. Will joining us.
What up, boys?
Where are you now? Milwaukee, that's right. You've been there almost all week, right, Milwaukee?
Man, I don't know where the hell I am. I feel like I'm in a different hotel every day. I just wake up and I hear you and Key's voice and I get ready for the day. That's how it works.
Does it get you fired up? I mean, do you miss
yours
us?
Yours does, not Keyshawn's.
Wow. Do you miss us,
why?
Though? We haven't been in the same place together.
Why is he attacking me?
Right, he's attacking me.
There's been a lot of attacking going on.
I have no idea why you are attacking me.
We conversate. We don't argue.
No, I didn't say argue. I just said attack. You went at me.
A negative connotation.
For no reason at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean.
I just hear a lot of your slander in the morning, and I don't like it.
Slander from what?
Your slander
standpoint about what?
On the Giannis stuff,
that's not slander.
It's not slander.
It's the way I see things, and I explained it. I'm not slandering him. I said I'll take 40 points. His style of play is different, and I'm not into comparing guys based on missed free throws. That's all.
That's what it seems to come down to.
You're the expert in the NBA. I'm just learning from you.
Oh, no, don't try to play the expert card. I see you try to do that. That's Key's way.
I only play one card, man.
You watch the game as much as I do, Key.
No, I do watch the game, but you know it.
Okay.
You know it in and out. I'm learning the NBA game from you. I'm talking about the ins and out of why things are done in the NBA. I understand basketball. I know I know athleticism when I see it, and I know guys can do certain things. But I learned basketball from working with you.
I just don't understand why there's a lot of accept it. I appreciate that. I still understand why there's a lot of clapback when I say Giannis is the Shaq of this era in basketball. Like, I got a lot of clapback from you, even though all the stats allude to it. Like, nobody wants to recognize with the way the game is played from shooting a lot of threes. We get razzle-dazzled by players like Stephen Curry or Dame, and it's all fitting. I get it. It's entertaining to watch. Luka is special. LeBron James with his passing ability. And now we have a player that's a little bit more traditional and gets his points off bangs and putbacks and rebounds. And it just seems like we don't appreciate the blue-collar work in today's game.
You know what, though, the reason I say what I say is because what I see the Diesel go to the cup and rebound, it looked like a Diesel. It doesn't just look like a regular truck. When Giannis does it, it just looks like a regular truck to me. There's no intimidation. There's no I am.
Is that demeanor, though, Key, or is that just the physicality traits?
I
think you're talking more demeanor, maybe.
But demeanor is what draws me to you. I like the fact that if that was Shaq, the spin move off of Crowder on the baseline, two-hand dunk, we would be calling timeout, bringing in the maintenance crew to screw back in the backboard. Giannis just didn't look right to me. That's all. You know how I am. I'm big with the eyes, man.
I like the
44 points. But I want you to break somebody's wrist for trying to block your dunk and then step over them.
I just think it's interesting because he doesn't talk trash. He's not over social media. That all of a sudden – he's less in a position to be one of the most dominant players and to be a superstar, right? Like, and people want to find ways to say, how come he doesn't get the respect from his peers or what's wrong with him or he's not a closer? And what I'm sitting here saying is I appreciate somebody that doesn't need to talk trash.
So do you not appreciate Luka?
Oh, I definitely appreciate
Luka. Because Luka is the total opposite. He going to give it to you.
I'm allowed to appreciate different things, though. It doesn't mean that the only way I find a superstar has to be one way. Like, I like having different avenues. Like, Dame is different than Steph, right? Like, Dame is a lot more, like, I'm in your face, I'm going to say something. Steph will talk to you, he'll just talk to you in different ways. So I think there's appreciation on so many levels about all these superstars and about what they bring to the table and different attributes.
So let me ask you this, Jay. How come Alan Hahn did his typical germ-spreading research 2 days ago and came back with a number of current and former NBA players that don't appreciate the I don't want to say appreciate, don't give Giannis the flowers that you say he certainly deserves. If that's the case, why is that? Why is it if we live in a social media world and era where he goes for 41 multiple back-to-back games and everybody act like, oh, well, whatever, and they keep it moving?
I didn't hear Alan's take on this. Alan, can you please provide some context?
Oh, you wasn't – that's right. You wasn't around yesterday. I forgot. My bad.
No, Jay, we talked about it earlier this week, but you and I, you know, you and I had that discussion about the – I think they're just the overall respect factor. Like you felt like, you know, stop disrespecting him. And I was saying, I don't know if it was about respect as much as I don't see the same buzz for him from his peers. I'm a big believer in talent recognizes talent. And I've always felt that way. Like when players tell me this guy's good and I really buy into it. And because of just how, you know, how dominant he's been for two games. So I just decided to just ask around some former and current players that I know that just asked them, like, well, what do you think of Giannis? Like, and why don't we see the same flowers on, you know, because social media is the place where you really hear from players who react to things happening in the national game that week. You know, there's the ESPN game on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of tweeting from NBA players because they know it's the only game on, you're watching it, or the finals, right? And Giannis does stuff and you just don't see the same thing. Dame Lillard hits a logo three, people go nuts. Steph Curry does something, they go nuts. LeBron does something. You know, Luka, like you get reactions. Trae Young was doing things that people were reacting to. And I'm saying people, I mean NBA players, blue check NBA players. When I say people, I don't mean fans, I don't mean media. So this is not me making a big deal about social media. It's about the players reacting to another player. And the reaction I got was, oh no, well, you know, they respect him, but he's just not. There's something about him that just doesn't get the same it's not the same allure, I guess. And one guy said to me, just look at what James Harden said last year. That's pretty much how guys feel, that it's all athleticism.
Oh, you mean when he was like pretty much like, I wish I could be 7 feet.
Well, he said, He said that, you know, what I do takes skill and athleticism. What I has skill, you know, anybody could be 7 feet and just, you know, do that.
Like nobody can just be 7 feet though.
Well,
first of all, you would know that firsthand, right, Jay?
Yeah. All right, Key.
So that was the thing. It was not that it was a disrespect or don't like him. It was simply that. Now Steve Novak, who was a great shooter in his career in the NBA, knows Milwaukee well. He does Bucks TV now for them in Milwaukee area. Knows Giannis, knows the team well. We had him on the show yesterday, and I asked him that same exact thing. Why is this happening? And I only ask it because of the discussion you and I have had, Jay. And I just feel like where is the enthusiasm for a guy who's won the MVP twice, who's in the finals, who's scoring 40 in the finals? Like, where is that same enthusiasm that you see? It's the one thing I love about the NBA. Players really get behind. Like, a guy that puts on a performance, everybody's like, damn, like, look what he's doing. And I don't see the same reaction. So I asked Novak the same question, like, why do you think this happens? And take a look, listen to what Novak said in return.
If you followed Giannis and watched how he's kind of gone about his journey, it's always been about being the underdog, being the guy who wasn't as respected, who wasn't going to be able to do it. And so, you know, when LeBron invited him to work out in the summers and he said, nah, you know what, I'm good. I'm actually trying to be your greatest competition. I'd rather not. He got invited to be in Space Jam. He said, nah, I'm good. You know, he didn't want to create a super team. I think he's gone about it this way. He signed a 5-year extension to stay in Milwaukee, which, I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of, it's mind-blowing. I do think that's part of it. Some of it's his style of game that he plays with that makes his sex appeal not quite that LeBron, D-Wade type star level appeal, but he loves who he is. He wants to work his butt off and be better than everybody else.
You think it's as simple as that, Jay? He doesn't run in those circles, so there's not that same relationship?
And I think a couple of things. Number one, I love that this dude wants to do it on his own. I love it. It's his, you know, kid, your son has been playing a lot of AAU basketball. It's been funny for me watching AAU over the span of the last 15 years. Like, I remember when we used to play AAU, if I was going at somebody and if you were my direct competition and you fell to the ground, I wasn't going to step over you, but I was going to look at you to make sure that you recognize that your place in this game is beneath me. Like, I'm not helping you up. Like, your job or your teammate is to help you up. And I feel like sometimes in the game of basketball today, everybody wants to be best friends. So, number one, I agree with Steve Novak, and I like that about Giannis, that he wants to do it his way. I respect that at the end of the day. As it relates to what other players have to say, in particular James Harden, because I pulled up the quote here, he said, "I wish I could be 7 feet, run, and just dunk. That takes no skill at all," Harden said. Mm-hmm. "I could actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill. I'll take that any day." Now, James Harden, he's the innovator of the game offensively, right? He's created new styles in which we've seen in the game of basketball nobody else has really been able to create. Sidestep, side double step. I don't even know how to properly articulate how James Harden has influenced or enhanced the game. I see kids out here doing footwork that I never thought could even exist within the game of basketball, and I think it all started with James Harden. But to sit up there and to say that, hey, I got to actually learn how to play basketball, first off, nobody could just be 7 feet tall. Do you know how hard it is for somebody 7 feet tall to build on their hand-eye coordination, their foot coordination, to be able to do the things Giannis can do with the ball? Like, it's go out there, Key. My mom would say this about some people. It's like, oh, that poor guy, he's a waste of tall. She would say this when we would play AAU ball, right?
Big for no reason.
Big for no reason. That's why it's so rare. That's why it's an anomaly when you get a chance to see guys who can put together and handle the rock the way he does. It's not a Kevin Durant. That's what makes Kevin Durant even more of an anomaly, right? But still, the physicality in which he plays, is it going to be the sexy thing you see every night? No, but at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to move away from the numbers, man. I mean, the numbers speak for itself, and that's going to keep him in the history books, regardless of whether he gets tweeted about or not.
Stay in the box, man. Don't shoot threes.
Well, that's the thing. And the numbers, by the way, 500 points this postseason, third most by a player in their first career playoffs. Now, who is that about? Because it says his. That can't be.
He needs 22 points to pass somebody?
I don't know. 22 points to pass Rick Barry. This is Devin Booker. I'm sorry. It said his, so I was assuming that's what this was. But the more important ones is the Shaq comparison, Jay, that I'll give you. I'm having a hell of a day, by the way, Key.
It's okay.
I'm having
you already thinking about Saturday.
Okay? Yeah, I'm getting a Saturday. Yeah, that's the problem. I'm getting a Saturday. I'm good. I'm going to have a good team around me. Saturday is when vacation begins. So Giannis has done something in
already,
this finals.
Already got 1 foot out.
Similar
man.
To Shaquille O'Neal. Although it's different, it's the paint domination, Jay, that you're talking about. So you go back to the 2000 finals for Shaq, his eighth season in the NBA, Giannis in his eighth season. So he's got 50 paint points in his last two games, the only other player to have at least 50 paint points in a two-game span in a single finals in the last 25 postseasons, Shaq. He's averaged, so Giannis averaging 17.3 points per game in the restricted area in the finals. Shaq averaged the exact same, 17.3 in those 2000 finals. So that's the comparisons you're making.
Look at the pictures,
the
though.
Two. And yes.
One right dude looked mean, the other dude smiled.
So you're going by the whole look.
You be a dominant force and
you're
be
going
nice.
By the
look,
whole
look. Look at it. Hey, Jay, one dude got a frown, the other dude cheesing.
How about this? Where
How does that matter, though?
Yeah, how about this? One week after hyperextending his knee.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We all
watch
this. Too, man.
That's so
we
great.
We all watch this, right? Like, I got to be honest. Like, you know, I got barely one leg out here. Like, I cringed up and curled into a ball when I saw that. But 1 week after hyperextending his knee, this dude is averaging 34-14 on 63% free 63% field goal percentage. Like, that's – I've never seen something like that before. I don't know why it doesn't get the same praise that we would have. Like, can you imagine if LeBron James hyperextended his knee and then came back and was averaging 34-14? Like, granted, LeBron has won championships, and I think that kind of plays into it. This is the first time we're seeing Giannis on this stage, and there is a lot of that there's that kind of Shaq dominance. But we'll be beside ourselves if another player at this magnitude dominate the way that he is right now.
I just feel like
don't shoot threes. That's all I'm gonna tell you.
Stay in the paint, man.
Pretty clear, I love you if you just stay in the paint.
Pretty clear that that's the thing. But I like I said, Jay, it feels like hate. I feel like the when you say like why can't we just appreciate him? I think that's the problem that I'm having. We get to this level and you watch what he's doing, and I keep watching, saying to myself like where is the hype? Where's maybe it's just this finals? Could it be that?
Or is Jay?
Normally, we're going crazy right now about something like this.
Or is it Jay, like I asked Cassidy Hubbard, who was on with us a little while ago, is it that players may feel like, it's even though he's playing and worthy of his dominance, that they're adding, the media is adding more to it? Like they're trying to force Giannis to be the NBA. Could it be a little bit of that?
You may have a point there, Key. It's Alan. You and I were even texting about it the other day.
Why y'all texting without me?
That's on me.
Interesting.
That's on me. Yeah. Sorry about that, Key.
It's basketball conversation. If it's not the Lakers, you don't want to be involved in it anyway.
Speaking like a true Nick. Go ahead, Jay.
But I was going to say, though, it's I got to be real with you guys. Like, I'm at the games, right? The environments are crazy.
Yeah. The home courts have been amazing.
They've been amazing. But there is something that I think from a national perspective, like even over the weekend, like I know there was the home run derby coming up and all these other things that were happening, but there wasn't the same chatter that typically we would have seen about the NBA finals. It kind of just went, dead. Like nobody even talked about it. I mean, typically when we have NBA finals, guys, if there's a weekend, some kind of report's coming out, some topic is being brought up over the weekend, you know, one player in particular is becoming a bigger thing. But it just kind of seemed like it was like, all right, then all of a sudden Monday, it's like, all right, here we are, game three. And I was like, wow, this has a completely different feel than NBA finals I've been a part of in the past.
You're listening to Jason Williams, host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. I just felt like I needed to do that.
Why are you doing a reset, man?
Because I just feel like we had the guys, people are getting in their cars, they have no idea who we're talking to. So I just felt like that I needed to reset at that point in time. That's all.
What is wrong with him, Alan?
No, he's going into announcer voice, which is always a lot of fun. But, you know, as I was reading that stat before about Devin Booker, again, 500 points this season, the third most by a player in their first career playoffs, needs just 22 to pass Rick Barry for the all-time record. Stats incredible, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. I'm calling this game tonight, though, Jay. We talked a lot about Giannis. This is the Devin Booker game, though. You know, he's been in a bit of a struggle. They locked him up in game three. There's been so much talk about him. And, you know, he's talked a lot about the Kobe influence on him. And I'll tell you what, if that's what you're about, then this is that game. This is that game. Game four is your game to show up and show out and see if you can get this thing 3-1 back in your building.
Did he really struggle the first two games, though, Alan?
Well, he had a great second half. What was it, game two, right? He had a great second half. Yeah. But if you look at his numbers shooting-wise, he's not shooting the basketball well.
Yeah, he wasn't shooting well. He wasn't crisp. He was kind of clunky.
As Cassidy mentioned as well, he has not actually shot the basketball well since he broke his nose.
39%.
Yeah.
I keep going back to, I saw something when they played against the Clippers that I'm kind of, you know, P.J. Tucker's done a great job on him too when Drew Holiday got him as well. That Patrick Beverley matchup was something different for him. I'm not sure how many times Devin has played against somebody. Obviously, he hasn't been in this situation before in the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals. But going against somebody who's a tad bit smaller than him that can get up underneath him and make things uncomfortable for him. But I would agree with you, Alan. I think that you look for Devin to have – I honestly feel he's going to be the greatest Phoenix Suns player we'll ever see. And I know that's a huge statement. There are guys like Steve Nash, two-time finals MVP. There are guys like Charles Barkley, who's an all-time Phoenix Suns legend. But I think at the end of the day, for the talent that Devin Booker has – it will speak for itself. I mean, if he brings a world championship to Phoenix, I think that puts him and CP3 in a different stratosphere within that Suns organization. I just think Devin Booker has to do more. Sometimes I feel like the ball becomes stagnant in Chris Paul's hands, and I would like to see them play when they play faster. Devin gets the ball out, and the ball is in his hands more. CP3 has even alluded to it a couple of times where he's like, sometimes I'm the old man where I want to slow down the pace of the game. And that comes with the ball being in his hands and him slowing it down and them running Dev off curl screens and things of that sort. So I like when they play fast. I like when whoever gets the rebound, go. Find open threes in transition. Devin, start cooking. Because the more you get him going earlier in the game, I think the better off it'll be for you long term in the game.
I wouldn't change a thing if I'm Budenholzer. I'd run my same everything. I do everything the same. Let Giannis dominate the paint. And no room for error whatsoever in terms of Jrue Holiday up in his face, giving him – he could be able to smell my breath, like right there. I'm breathing in his ear all night long. And then when I decide to put him down, putting T.J. Tucker right back on him, same thing. I'm not changing a thing from game three.
I'm also going to watch officiating because officiating was a factor in game three. They played very physical, but Ayton was the one in foul trouble. The free throw discrepancy was something Monty Williams pointed out. There's no question that that was an issue. Giannis had more free throw attempts than the entire Suns team did. Mm. So, you know, watch.
I want to do that again in game four.
Watch that. Yeah, they want to, but officiating is going to decide whether you can or not. That's just the way it's been.
Scott Foster?
We'll see. Man, I mean, if you're Scott Foster, don't you just one time say, I got to get this guy a win because this is ridiculous.
What is it, like 2-15 or somebody, outlandish?
It's 0-12. Isn't it 0-12?
I think it's like 2-15. That's what our stats guy told us the other day, something like that.
It's absolutely crazy. But on, you know, on the Booker front, and I do want to get more into this with you later because what you said, it's a pretty strong statement. An all-time great in Phoenix Suns history. It's a franchise that's been around a while and had some great players, but it's possible – especially if he can win them their first championship, which they win this game.
At the age of 24.
Win this game. Yeah, Nash is a two-time MVP. Amari Stoudemire.
Stoudemire, Barkley.
I mean, you've got, obviously, Barkley. You've got Kevin Johnson,
KJ,
was a great point KJ. Guard.
I said Dan Marley already.
But
Tom Chambers.
None of those guys have been able to bring a title.
It's
I'm not saying it takes away from their individual greatness, but I'm just saying the title.
It's only like three, though, right? I mean, like when you start talking about all-time great, it's only like three Suns that you
would
point to, right?
I don't think it's an outrageous statement, but it certainly would start here, and it would start in the game certainly tonight. So a lot more to get to certainly on this.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Wednesday we'll be busy looking back on the baseball All-Star Game and looking ahead to the critical Game 4 of the NBA Finals in Milwaukee. See you then. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Okay, we're back. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guys join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Yes, return of the Mac.
I got to be honest, I'm happy we're all back. I'm happy we're all back, Alan. We had a little
technical difficulty
during the break.
We had a hiccup.
I think the problem is you're not here. I think we need to get you here in the building.
No comment.
Has not been the same, you know?
If I wasn't on the road for the last month and a half, you know?
I know. Well,
you
took
the job.
Can you get this finals over
with? You know what? Sometimes I want to reach through the mic. Mm-hmm.
Just get this finals over
with.
You
could have said no if you wanted to be here.
Get back into the studio.
If you really wanted to be, you could have just said no.
You know what?
Okay. I'd rather be at the NBA Finals, to be honest with you, Key. I wish you guys can be with me at the NBA Finals. That's what I wish.
Yeah, Milwaukee in July. Can't wait. Coverage of Game 4 NBA Finals begins tonight.
New York in July.
On ESPN Radio, which is why I'm leaving New York in July in a couple of days. The same exact reason. What is it out right now, Key? Is it hazy, right?
Yeah, like, come on.
Hazy.
Man.
Key, how you dealing with the humidity? Is everything okay?
That's fine. I mean, it opens up my pores and allows some of the stuff to come out. But
I got to tell you, when I was in Cali, When the Clippers were playing the Suns, I was like, ooh, this is what Key be talking about. I hear it's nice. 75 degrees at nighttime. I could put a little sweater on, you know, a little fire on the beach. I was like, I see what Key's talking about.
Think about it, though, Jay. I got here late last summer, August 17th or 18th, I think we started the show. So it was hot, muggy still. By the time I got to October, it was raining. November started snowing, cold, December, January, February, March,
you
April.
You got to enjoy all the
snowing,
seasons.
Snowing, the whole. And
there's really
spring.
No more seasons, though, Alan.
I didn't even see spring. I didn't see a flower grow.
No, spring.
It goes hot to cold, back to hot.
Yeah, man, hot to cold, back to. I'm like, come on, seriously? Like, don't get me. I'll go on a 30-minute rant.
Look how beautiful it is here at the pier.
It's
look
ridiculous.
At this, the Seaport District.
And
New
at the
York
same
City.
Time, it's hot as hell and people blowing horns and traffic. It's just.
Mad at you.
Whatever, man.
Mm-hmm. But great for the pores. Great for the pores.
Good for the pores. But it is, you know what? It
just,
smells like football, though, no matter where you are.
Get ready to set your alarm clocks to a different time zone.
It smells like football.
Well, I've already been practicing, Keith.
3 a.m. is early enough, my man. So Jeremy Fowler puts out his now rankings of the top wide receivers in the NFL. So I'll give you 10 to 1. A.J. Brown of the Titans, 10. D.K. Metcalf, Seattle, 9. Michael Thomas of the Saints, you might know him, Key, 8. Mike Evans, the Bucks, 7. Keenan Allen, Chargers, 6. Julio Jones, now with the Titans, 5. Tariq Hill, Chiefs, 4. Stephon Diggs, Bills, 3. DeAndre Hopkins, Cardinals, 2. And number 1, with the Packers, Devontae Adams. You like that list?
Yeah.
Good list?
It's fine. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily have Tariq Hill on the list, but that's just me.
Not on top 10?
No, because he's not a – he's because he has his own special category.
What is his category?
I'm Tyreek Damn Hill, and I'm going over here to the right, and I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. That is a perfect way to describe him. He is on his own. You know, it's like in basketball, there's Steph Curry, there's point guards. No, it's Steph Damn Curry. Ain't no matter. I don't want to hear nothing about nothing. Tyreek Hill has his own special category.
He's like a Swiss Army knife.
Are you okay with DK Metcalf being so high?
Well, that's his list. That ain't my list.
We'll get Key's list in a minute. Just some honorable
mentions. Yeah, that's fine. His list is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I wouldn't have Tyreek Hill on the list. Like when he did the quarterback list the other day, I wouldn't have Aaron Rodgers on the list, and I wouldn't have Deshaun Watson on the list because I don't know where they're at right now, and I don't know how he compiled his list, like what went into his thought process of putting the list together.
He left Deshaun off of it.
He left Deshaun off of it, but he included Aaron.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I don't know. Now I took them both off mine.
A couple of honorable mentions: Calvin Ridley of the Falcons, Allen Robinson with the Bears, Odell with the Browns, him returning. Another interesting name here among this group: Justin Jefferson, the rookie. I mean, already getting that.
Yeah, but he's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's here to stay, I believe.
All right. So how about Key? Then you will go Key's real rankings right now. Top 5 wide receivers in the NFL, according to Key. Go. Number five.
There you go. There it is.
That's what I was waiting on.
We're a mess today.
The one time Atlanta Falcon wide receiver Julio Jones, who's now the Tennessee Titan, when you look at his production over the last couple of years, it's been down a little bit, but I think he gets a rebirth and a new offense in Tennessee. He certainly looks the part, no question about it. He's big, he's fast, he's physical, he's dominant, he's a route runner, all of those sort of things. His red zone production could increase a little bit, but look, man, Julio, top 5 receiver when healthy, no question about it. He's at number 5.
Number 4.
Stephon Diggs. The ex-Minnesota Viking turned Buffalo Bills set the world on fire a year ago. Josh Allen's favorite target. The reason the Bills are in deep, deep playoff run contention is because of Stephon Diggs, not Josh Allen. Josh Allen became a better quarterback when he got Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs is a itty-bitty that can pick him up and put him down with the best of them.
Number 3.
DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins could clearly be number 1. There's no question about this. He could be 1, 2, anywhere on the list, but I got him at 3. And I think when you look at D-Hop, all he does is play football at the highest level. Not the fastest guy in the world, not the biggest guy in the world in terms of stature and size, but he is one of the most dominant in the world at that position. Hands is ridiculous, long arms, reach, and he got swag, and he talked that it to anybody that's out there.
Number 2.
Number two, it's nepotism, man. It's my nephew.
I knew it.
It's my nephew.
I knew it.
At least you admit it.
Man, I don't give a damn. Dude is a football player, man. I want a dude that
say
all
his name.
All I care about is Kent guard Mike. I don't give a damn if he ran 10,000 slants.
It's Kent guard Mike.
I don't care. Michael you Thomas. Know he getting the football, and you still can't stop him. You can't do anything about it, and he's going to talk that it to you on social media. $20 million a year plus to catch slants. I ain't never known somebody, Jay, to give a dude $20-plus million dollars if that's all he could do. That doesn't even sound right to me. And then number one.
Number one.
We know who this is.
Is Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Davante Adams is amazing.
Number 17.
Yeah, but he looked different in that 17. He just looked different. Different than Ohtani 17 in baseball. He can line up inside. He can line up outside. He can run the entire route tree. And it's just he crazy with it. I mean, he really is. He can do the same things with any quarterback. And any of these guys that are on my top five list can do the same things with any quarterback. But then you say, well, what about some of these other guys like a Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
I explained to you, separate section for Tyreek Hill. He has a bonus section. His is different. I'm Tyreek Hill. I can do many things. I can play running back. I can do fly sweeps. I can run screens, bubble screens, deep crossers, comebacks. I can run deep crossers, stop in the middle of the field.
So he's a
slash. I can eat man. I can do anything I want to do to you because you can't stop me. You cannot stop me, and I know you can't. And I'm small, I'm fast, and I'm stocky, and I'm strong. Period.
So
end of discussion.
You won't put him in the wide receiver category.
No.
He's more a slash guy that various things.
I just don't put him as a receiver. Don't mean I don't want him on my team.
Of course.
It's just that special category. So that's a good thing. Then there's one more guy that's a bonus guy. That you would say, oh.
I love bonus stuff.
Bonus.
Robert Woods, Los Angeles Rams. People don't think of Robert Woods as a dominant wide receiver. Man, that dude can play football. That dude kills people. Not literally, but out on the football field.
Another number 17, but
he know how to dress it up and look good with it. And I'm not picking him just because he went to USC. I'm picking him because all he is consistent, man. He is consistent as ever. And I can leave Keenan. I can put Keenan Allen on there. Keenan Allen, I already know he probably going to go at me because he's mad at me just because I don't have him on the list. And he's very sensitive when you don't put him on the list.
I got one for you, Key. Can we put your boy on there, Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson can be on there.
Most contested catches, right?
Allen Robinson.
1% drop rate.
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Justin Jefferson, all them are worthy guys that are in, but I only got five spots. And they don't cut the top five. And then as far as the bonus goes, Robert Woods is just ridiculous. I mean, he just is, man. If you know receiver and you know football and you watch him, he going to do everything, all the little work. He going to block. He going to do things. Remember against the Giants? It was 3rd and 79. Dude caught a screen and housed it. You remember that? It was like 3rd and 79.
I have a question for you. Out of the wide receivers, because this is for the kids who might not remember when you played.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the wide receivers in the NFL today, who's the Keyshawn?
It would be my nephew.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like if somebody's
it would
like.
It would be like D-Hop and my nephew.
Okay.
Be honest with you, it would be all the top three dudes.
All of them combined.
No. All similarity in terms of game.
Who plays the most like
you? This is what
like
I love
did.
About you.
The yeah. most
He's like,
like
best
me,
guys.
Most likely
who's the
Keyshawn?
Just
nephew.
Combine all the top five guys. That's
oh,
Keyshawn.
Nah, stop, man. That's not what I'm saying. But I would say all top three got some similarities, but my nephew is most like. I mean, it's very similar in
the way you play.
The way I play. It's almost carbon copy of me to a T.
Right. Okay.
It really
Hold on,
really?
Alan.
Yeah.
I know he missed some games last year, but across nine starts, man, Julio Jones was still pretty bad. Is he not? Are we not even saying Julio Jones' name anymore?
He's five.
He's five.
Oh, he's five on you. Okay.
There's
a lot of lists going on. You're right, Key. Okay,
no, he's five on my list. Stephon Diggs is four. DeAndre is three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kane guard Mike is two, and Davante Adams is one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like that list. Okay.
Yeah, it's a
I like that list.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
And I didn't go 10 because all those other names, if I added another five, all of them would be on there.
Yeah,
but Keenan Allen going to get me. I already know Keenan Allen going to get me.
Yeah.
He going to be so bad because he hate when people don't put him on something. And he's really good, man. Like, he's really good. When you draft him, he's a guy that you say, okay, I'm going to draft him. He's that type of player.
Okay. But you just don't have him. Look, there's always something. There's always that line of demarcation, but it is interesting.
DK Metcalf, big. I saw him at the Russell Wilson fashion show. Uh-huh. He was big, huge. I was like, hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, how tall is he?
he just.
The way you
know,
looked up was like he's 6'9".
They just look big nowadays, man. he just looked big because he was right. Everything was put together right, Jay. Right. You know how it is. It looked right. Young, neck on his shoulders. His neck is on the outside of his shoulder blades. It's so wide.
Yeah. He's not built like a typical wide receiver.
And he looks strong. Yeah. You know,
that's what I'm trying to tell you, Key. When we were coming down the game after game three and game two in Phoenix, I saw OBJ in the elevator. And I looked out, and Key, I'm used to being around you. You're what, 6'4"?
Well, I'm taller than you. Yeah, 6'4", 6'5".
I know you're taller than me, and it's okay. Don't worry. My ego understands you're taller than me, Key. 6'4", like I'm looking him in the eye.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh.
Really
like big. It just looked different, right? As opposed to other wide receivers. I'm like, I look at DK Metcalf, I'm like, damn, that looked different.
It was like when I went back to an NFL game for the first time and I went to the 49ers, New England Patriot game and I was standing on the sideline as they walked out the tunnel, the 49ers.
Right.
I was like, yeah, something's really wrong with me to have to play in this league. For them dudes were so damn big.
Yeah, guys that big.
Staley and them dudes. Kaepernick was huge.
It's funny how you go into the regular world and you realize how much bigger you are as a human being compared to regular people. And you go back into that environment and realize, the size of the athletes in every sport you play. Speaking of the NFL, though, some trash talk that's going on. Patrick Mahomes, critical of someone. We'll tell you what he said and who it was about. Coming up next.
After Jay has this.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Michael is in Queens. Michael, what's up, man?
And as far as Key goes and the diva, Key, you're so diva, it's more like Kiva should be your new name.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey.
It's so offensive.
Don't use offensive, please.
On a day like today,
don't
though.
Don't do that.
What do you mean?
Because you use
offensive, saying I don't look like
wackos,
a shooter.
The wackos will start saying that something
he
negative
didn't stereotype
about me.
You, Alan. Isn't that what you want?
Look like a shooter.
You don't look like a shooter.
How do you know what a shooter looks like?
I've seen shooters, and you don't look like one. Chris Mully is a shooter. You don't look like a Mully. You look
like a guy that sets screens.
Greg Kite.
But see, Alan, he's doing you a favor. You know how it is. Like if you're on an AAU basketball team and you're the one guy on our team, like, oh, that's the shooter. He's not saying you're the shooter. Isn't that a compliment?
That's the way to twist it, Jay. Make him feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Build him up.
You know he looked like the all-foul team. You know that. The all-foul team.
I did use them.
Yeah. You got six of them.
This guy uses them hard.
I did. Yeah.
What'd you say, Jay? This guy uses them hard. Is that what the coach says to the meet? This guy right here, see him, 50, 44.
Get in there.
Look, make sure you protect there, yourself because this guy's really wild.
The kid, a guy comes in, you and I on a team, like, see, this is how they want to hurt you. This guy wants to hurt you. Be careful.
Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't that guy. I wasn't trying to hurt people. But I will admit that the higher up I went, you know, in the game, the more I became that guy that, sets green.
Jersey in or jersey out?
Oh, you start the game with it in,
but
it always
ended
up out.
But do you make sure it stays in?
No, it always ended up out.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't that.
Alan looked at me. He said, see how he looked at me. He looked at me like, come on, man. Seriously.
Like you're looking at me like I didn't have at least a little bit of swag. Come on.
I'm curious
socks
for Key on this basketball question, Key.
Low socks. Socks up. I mean, maybe this is just
random basketball talk. Random basketball talk, Key. If me, you, and Allen are shooting around, and I shoot a shot, and I miss it, you get the rebound. Do you just take the ball out and you start shooting, Key, or do you pass me the rock back for me to get a quick lay-in?
If I'm at the rim?
So, like, we're shooting around, right? We're shooting around somewhere just, like, in a court. And Jay's made a couple, and then he misses one. You catch the rebound. Do you just start shooting, or do you give Jay a bounce pass for a layup?
It depends on how bad he missed the shot.
What are you talking about?
If he misses a shot, I get the board.
Yeah.
And we're just shooting around.
We're just shooting around.
It depends on how bad he misses. If he misses it bad, I'm going to kick it back to him.
See, Key, this is basketball hoop talk. Mm. So, first off, you make it, you take it. The more you make, you just keep going. If you miss, though, you always pass the ball back to the shooter for him to get an easy lay-in.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give it back
and then
to him.
He catches his lay, and then he kicks it to you where you're now set up waiting to take
that's
your shot.
That's why I just said if it depends on how bad
he misses it. Well, what
yeah, because I'm not getting ready to chase no air ball down.
Oh, you mean like if it takes off?
Okay, I respect
that. You're going to get your own damn
–
hey, Yates. He's going to get his own damn ball in the third row.
If Jay shoot and miss and air ball, you're not getting the layback.
No, you're not getting it.
I can respect that.
Come on, man. You're going to try to test me. Come on, man. Stop, man. Jay, don't do that.
No, but that's
– I'm the wrong one, Jay.
Jay and I discussed this on social yesterday, right? Like we saw somebody posted this and we discussed – actually,
I can't believe you tried me. Out of everybody on set, you tried me.
No, but the fact that you called it out, if you miss the ball, if you miss a shot and it goes into the third row, I ain't giving you the ball, but I respect that. You go respect that.
You go get it at that point. You got to earn
it. You go get that.
That's just like the quarterback overthrow me in practice or something like that. They talking about go get the ball. Man, I'm not doing that. Send him or send the dude that y'all pay to go get it.
Send him to send the dude to go get it.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 at KJNZ on Twitter as well. Is that what you do? Is that the etiquette today still? Because I grew up with that. Like you shoot around, a guy gets a layup before you shoot next. That's just how it's supposed to go. But not everybody agreed with that, as we saw on Twitter.
Wild.
Meanwhile, how about this story? So I guess this is at American Century, right? At the golf outing in
Tahoe.
In Tahoe, I call it a golf outing. Like it's a bunch of guys just showed up, and a fan apparently yelled at Patrick Mahomes, "Watch out for Justin Herbert next year." And Mahomes is caught on video responding, "I'll see it when I believe it."
But was he talking about Justin Herbert?
Well, he's saying watch out for him.
It kind of.
He meant to say, "I believe it when I see it," but still.
No, he.
Like, what is that?
But that's
all about?
How he feel though. Because he probably have
that.
First of all, he's probably having a rough day in golf, right? I mean, he's probably not out there hitting the ball the way that he thought he would be, and he's probably like teed off about that.
He was. Remember, he told us he wasn't happy with the way he.
That's what I'm saying.
He told us that on Get Up.
So now, Jay, you walk in down. It's called the fairway or the green.
Depends on where you are.
Okay, so he's walking.
Where was he?
Down the fairway.
He's walking down the fairway.
So he teed off. He's walking down the fairway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's probably walking down the fairway.
Yeah.
And somebody says something to him, so he just quick respond. I see it when I believe it. I believe it when I see it. That's natural.
Here's what happens.
Everybody said they're coming for us, but let's see it.
We live in a world where everything that you say is caught on camera to a degree, right? So I can only imagine, if you caught everything that Key had to say in his random moments on camera. I mean, same with me. Like I don't know how we expect people to react. Every single time, and the same thing that got them to where they are, obviously, is being competitive. So
it's
you're
totally
get some
competitive
real stuff sooner or later.
Because no matter what you think about the opposing team's receiver, he ain't me. I don't give a damn what you say. Mm-hmm. He ain't me, period. And me and him might be cool. We might be best friends, but he ain't me. And if you say something that's going to pop me off, I'll let you know. He cool. What has he done? I start breaking down statistics and everything.
But aren't quarterbacks like in
their
own
championships?
Kind of club,
has he
how many championships? How many playoff games he been in? Has he ever done this? I'll start breaking it all the way down for him.
But we don't know Mahomes to be like that. But I do admit I kind of like it. Did we kind of like the All-Star jerseys? No, nobody did. But yes, we will talk about them.